some of you may or may not be aware from the sounds of it, YK is going to start a treatment center this fall. It's small, it's going to be outpatient, and it'll probably be 10 to 15 people max, but we are putting together the staffing for that now. When our new PATC center opens in October, we'll be looking to get this created over there, probably have our first treatment centers in our sessions in October or November. The paying contract thing that you mentioned is something that we're talking about internally all the time, that we continually go. Bottom line is, if you wean them off, it's, I think you hit it, it's weaned off or cut off. I deal with a lot of these folks from a standpoint of them talking to us and coming in and complaining. If you can't get the psychological or the behavioral health modification in there, that's the real important part. We've got to find a way to help them fight it once they get off it. So we will continue to work towards that, but I wanted to make sure you were aware that we are in the process of putting together an outpatient treatment center now. And of course, for beneficiaries, that will be free.
Nope.
My name is Helen.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. One of the problems we have is in the villages, there's not enough people to encourage people who are addicted to get treatment. They get their family members will shun them and get mad at them for bringing that in the open, and that could be really hard in the village and even here in Bethel too, because every 7 minutes and 8 minutes, there's a domestic violence and murder in the United States all over. And what happens is, we have the highest in Alaska, we have the highest domestic violence, sex assault, diabetes, and now this heroin coming in. We need to really help our people who are need help and let them go get help. You know who they are. Go see them. Go talk to them. Don't point fingers at them and they're doing this and that. Go see them and learn from them. If they had an addiction problem, and they will come and learn why they came from it. My question is, how can we help people who aren't willing to admit they have a problem, and here it's really hard for heroin addiction people to admit, and that would be my biggest concern. And that's Diana.
And I just have a point on that. Just thinking, a lot of people in the villages are very family orientated. We're all, the village is like a one big family, and I believe that a lot of those people that don't want to admit it, if you staged an intervention, like Terry said, I guarantee they have good setups for it, bringing in all those family members together to intervene in that person's life, I think that's a big solution. And Terry, if you'd like to say something.
So I would just say, to add to what you said, is to not point fingers, to not shame and guilt and add to all of what they're already feeling, but to educate and to let them know that you're there for them and what the resources are. What each and every one of us can do is learn what are those resources, so that when you do have a family member, like she's explaining, that you know what to say and where to send them for this help. So you've heard the different treatment options, YKHC, Family Clinic, and other people in town who are available for this service. And I think the biggest thing is talking about it, saying something, telling someone that you know that they're struggling, because you won't know that you're helping them later. You might say, you know what, I know you're struggling, I'm here for you when you need it, and 6 months down the road they're ready, you're going to be who they go to. So just remembering that part.
Rhonda Sargent, my comment would be how to get it out of the medicine cabinets when you are done with it, if you've successfully weaned off of the pain medications. I personally called YK and said, what do I do with it? Because I've heard of other places you could take what your unused pills out of your medication cabinet and turn it into the hospital or somewhere else where they can destroy it safely or whatever, and it wasn't possible. So what do we do with it? Because I don't want to flush it down the toilet and get it in the river or put, you know, get it somewhere else different. So.
Yeah, I'll answer this. This is Jerry Evan. The state troopers have a take-back program where once or twice a year we welcome anybody with extra medication they have or what they found, and they bring to our office here in Bethel. And that's how we dispose of the medication. So we do have a take-back program.
So is there a way that we could make that more publicly known or do it more than once or twice a year? Because if they're, I don't know what the chances are, but if people are getting it from the medicine cabinet or, you know, my concern is the younger people that are getting a hold of it from home. The parents need to know. We need to know what to do with it and how to get it out of our house and help each other get it out. But how can we make that more frequent or more well-known?
If in that way, you can either come to us or we can come to you and we can pick up and dispose of the extra medication.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. Unfortunately, it's illegal for pharmacies to take medications back after they've been dispensed. So that's why with the state troopers, it's set up a specific take-back days. But as mentioned, if you don't want to wait for that take-back time, you can grind up the medications into coffee grounds, kitty litter, something like that, and then be able to discard it into the trash.
I would say if you have a risk of that happening, somebody trying to get into your medicine cabinet, throw it away. The city will bury it for you.
Although having said that, I did want to say that your concern about throwing it into the water system is a real one, and absolutely that is not the way to go. So what Dr. Roll said and Mr. Stamper and Investigator Evan said, those are the ways to go. Please don't put it in the water system. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Ms. Coffey. Often the fear of something is worse than the actual something, you know. And so you get hooked on this medication or you get hooked on heroin, and the fear of withdrawal, not that it isn't bad enough on its own, but the fear of it is paralyzing. Why do we not have a methadone or a methadose detox program in this city? People want to be clean. We don't want to be addicts. And yet you're forcing us to white knuckle through or try and wean ourselves. You ever give an addict a bottle of pills and ask them to wean themselves? It's not going to happen. We need medical, strict medical intervention along with counseling. Can you take some of the fear and the pain out of the detox, and let's see if these people can do it, because nobody wants to grow up to be an addict. Thank you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you. I believe you were talking about your methadone program. Would you like to speak to that again and maybe have more details about it?
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Dr. Roll on that.
Okay. And please state your name for the record and for people on the radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Elizabeth Roll. I'm one of the family practice doctors here, and I've been working with outpatient clinics. Has been working closely, actually, with our behavioral health department at YKHC to work on some type of a Suboxone treatment program, as that can be a way to kind of help people either transition away from illegal drugs and slowly wean down and hopefully get themselves clean. We've been working on a task force for several months now. We're hoping to have our first few patients in November. We're right now, Dr. Flickener and I will be the main prescribers, and probably Dr. Hodges as well. what our plan is right now, our ideal treatment plan would be actually a six to eight week residential stay at our brand new PATC that, as we all know, will be opening soon, and then transitioning to an intensive outpatient therapy program, which is approximately 9 hours a week for several months, and then from then transitioning to a little step down unit or a outpatient program without quite so many hours. You know, there's lots of different ways to go at this to help yourselves recover and to help us all, help our family members improve. Suboxone has been one of the ways. It's actually a medication that both decreases the high you get from narcotic as well as giving them a tiny bit of narcotic so they have less withdrawal symptoms or no withdrawal symptoms. So it is a time when you or whoever is addicted, it's a time for that addict to heal, to learn how to psychologically deal with this longing, while at the same time they're not experiencing all of those withdrawal side effects. So that is a possibility that's moving forward, hopefully in November. We're going to start the program pretty small. We have been able to get some additional funding for a case manager, for another clinician. We're hoping perhaps to have some evening hours as well for counseling, as it's really hard for people to do it during the day. But we're going to start small. But it'll be available starting in November. If you're interested, please call YKHC and try to get an assessment with our behavioral health department. We're taking a waiting list now. Our first priority will be pregnant folks, and our second priority will be anyone who's interested in quitting.
My name is Martha Larson, and I'm going to ask a question. These painkillers are so addictive, why are they prescribing them?
That is a great question. So we do use these when there's an appropriate, legitimate pain. It does work to manage that pain. But as we all know, it's dangerous, and if it's not used appropriately or at the appropriate dose, it can lead to addiction or overdose. So that's one thing that we work together as a medical team to try to make sure that when we are treating the patients, we are treating with as low a dose as possible for as short a time as possible to get the patient through that pain and then wean them off the medication so they're no longer using that. But unfortunately, It does have a use in the medical field. It does work to help manage pain, but it comes along with this huge risk of abuse and overdose. So something that we constantly work together to try to manage and make sure that our main priority is patient safety. We want to make sure the patient is safe and manage their pain appropriately.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question to the troopers from questions I get from the public. Why is it so hard for people to arrest dealers? It seems like it's very hard for that to actually happen. And a lot of people want to know that. Why is it so hard?
Okay, basically, investigating these type of drug cases involves a lot of time. It's more intense than investigating a simple DUI case where you spend 2 hours investigating a DWI case and then that's it. With these type of drug cases, we have to identify the people that are actually dealing. We have to find means of getting all the information we need to maybe apply for a search warrant. With the types of calls that we get here in Bethel, a lot of them are anonymous calls on our tip line, and there's so much weight we can put with those types of tips because they're calling anonymously. We cannot use their name in our report, as well as I can't go before the judge and say, hey, I got this tip, this is what I want a search warrant. We can't do that. We gotta, anyone who calls and requests, yeah, use me as a witness, Now, that's the type of information we can use. We can take them before the judge, or I can take their name before the judge and basically prove that caller reliable and trustworthy before the judge. And with that information they supply us, I have to corroborate it with the other information I have about whoever they're reporting. And that's why any tips we get is important for us. We can compile all that and use that later, maybe when somebody calls and say, hey, I want to be able to testify. We can use that person's information along with all the information we got. Could be from some surveillance work we did or some other means of information we've received by other callers maybe or from what we've seen in the past. It's not just a simple, hey, this guy's drug dealing. Why don't you go bust him? Okay, let's do that. Let's go bust him right now with the information I just got. Drug dealer, drug dealing at home. I go to the house. I talk to the guy. And he say, pound sand, you're not coming in. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pound sand because I have no authority at that point to go into that house and continue the investigation because of the information I got. It lacked credibility. I didn't know the person. The person who's making this tip, I don't know if he's doing that to get a friend into trouble or some other person into trouble. That's something I have to avoid, and we have to respect the people's right to privacy. I mean, we need that in this world, right to privacy. And I can't just go over there and start infringing people's privacy based on an anonymous caller. That's why we need people willing to testify. When they witness something, we want them to testify so we can use that information against the person that they're reporting. It's not just, hey, I'm an anonymous caller, this is what I want, this is what they're doing, go forth and conquer. No, it's not like that. These type of investigations take a long time. It's time consuming, it takes manpower. It could take 2, 3, 4 months maybe. One operation I've done in the past, it took me almost a year. I mean, this is when we had 3 investigators and a clerk. Due to some issues, we're down to staffing are just myself and another investigator where we cover Bethel and the whole 56 villages around us. So I wish we can just concentrate on certain efforts day in, day out for a certain amount of time, but we can't do that. We have other issues that we need to deal with. Other villages we have to deal with, not just Bethel, but the whole YK Delta. I mean, it takes a lot of time and manpower. And with the community support, maybe our job will be a little bit easier.
Thank you. Everybody listened to that and took that in, because that is one of the biggest problems we have in stopping these dealers. Do you have a question? Yeah, come up.
Thank you. My name is Bill Rogers. I've worked in this area for off and on for the last 3 years. I work with families. I worked in Kodiak for the last year, came back in April, and I worked in, I had the opportunity to go to Dillingham and work some of the villages there. And just like the trooper said, it's important that you have to be able to stand up and have somebody get mad at you. They need witnesses. I've called Crime Stoppers numerous times in Togiak, and that person ended up getting arrested and was looking at several years in prison. The person was so brazen to text even the health aides to ask if they wanted some drugs. So that's pretty brazen. But it took not just me, but telling people in the community, you have to make a report to Crime Stoppers so that troopers can get on the ground and do an investigation. But you have to be a witness. You have to be a witness for everything, even alcohol, as hard as it is. Speak up, be a voice, tell your loved one that you love them. You got to be supportive of them, but you also need to be a voice for them, and that sometimes is being a witness against them.
Thank you.
My name is Bruce, and I was curious, where is the heroin coming from?
The majority of the heroin that the United States is seeing now is coming out of Mexico. There's thousands of vehicles, both cars, trucks, that cross the border daily, and it's a very, you can't stop every car, you can't search every car, it's almost physically impossible to do that. And the drug cartels that are in Mexico now are realizing the profitability of heroin, and they're starting to push more heroin than they are cocaine across the border. And then especially with this area, what you would sell and get $20 for, say in Los Angeles, gangs can bring the product up here, and for the same amount that would they would get $20 for in LA, they can get $100-$120 up here in this part of the country. So it's more profitable. They can sell smaller amounts and make more money up here. But currently, the majority of the heroin we see is coming out of Mexico.